Welcome to Glory Light Chapel, the radio ministry of Glory Light Live. I would like to welcome everyone sitting in this room and also those of you who may be tuned in through internet radio from wherever you may be sitting on the face of this planet. It is our privilege that you are here, and it is our prayer that you will receive a blessing from our message today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you today. We pray that you will send your angels to worship with us and to drive away the evil one. We pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to prepare us to receive the blessings you have made ready for us and to guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, welcome to Glory Light Chapel. It is our midweek service. It is 7 o'clock p.m. Central Daylight Time on May 4, 2022, and we are studying A.T. Jones. The book we are looking at is The Third Angel's Message. It's reprints of all 26 sermons given by A.T. Jones at the General Conference of 1895, as recorded in the General Conference Bulletin. And we are actually in the middle of one right now. We're in the middle of number 18, and we stopped on page 99 of the Green Book, but we're going to go back a page and start on page 98 to pick that up. So let's give you the start page for each one of these. The start page for the Green Book is 98. For the Picture Book, now it is the same way here. Picture Book is 167, and the Bulletin itself is page 351. 351 in the Bulletin, 167 in the Picture Book, and 98 in the Green Book. And by the way, I want to remind you that you can participate in this meeting. If you have any questions or comments, you can text this number. That's 615-974-1182. That's 615-974-1182. And if you send a text, we should be able to answer your question or acknowledge it on our radio even tonight. Most likely we can do that. If you decide to call this number, please leave a message and we will get back to you at a later date. That number is, again, 615-974-1182. Okay. So, 98 in the Green Book, 167 in the Picture Book, and 351 in the Bulletin. And we're going to talk about what's going on in Romans chapter 6. And before we actually get into our books, let's go to the Bible. And I want to look at Romans chapter 6, and we're going to discuss these things because Elder Jones talks about them in his talk. So let's just go ahead and look at Romans 6 and see what the Bible has to say. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, or by no means. Shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" And this is what we're going to talk about tonight, is death. Our death. And so let's keep that in mind. So, verse 3 says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life." Now, this is why we baptize by immersion. Baptism is very important. It represents the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. Not only his death and resurrection, but the fact that he did that for the whole human race and everybody in it. And then as we are baptized and we are raised to walk in a new life, we go down in the water to represent his death, and then we come up to represent his resurrection. And so we also participate, Jesus, in his death and his resurrection. Okay, so verse 4 again, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." So Jesus, as our representative, did that for us. And then as we participate in that, we are telling the Lord, yes, we want to participate in your death and in your life. So we died with him. Now verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, excuse me, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And I want to bring up the idea here that the human body, when God created it, he built up the body of Adam and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And I say plural because that's the way it is in the Hebrew, the breath of life. That would include you and me as well. So we were created when Adam was created. And so, and then it says, and Adam became a living soul. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And we'll come back to Romans, and then we'll get back to A.T. Jones. Okay, Hebrews 2 verse 7. And this is how God put man together, and it's described here in verse 7. And the Lord God, and notice the word Lord is capitalized, so that's the official name of the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ. That's the word Yahweh in the Hebrew. And the word Lord, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, of course he made his body, okay, out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now, every Bible that I've seen has life singular, but the Hebrew is plural here, and so that's the way I'm going to read it, the breath of lives. Now, notice that God had made his body because he has nostrils. He has nostrils that that the Lord can breathe into. And so he's breathing in, and the word translated spirit means breath. So this is the spirit that God is putting into man, the breath of life, the spirit, and then man became a living soul. Now, the soul is the mind. And so God made the body out of the dust of the ground. Then he breathed into him his spirit, which is, the spirit is actually the seat of the man's character. It is his, if you call SIM card, his celestial SIM card that God has breathed into him. He's breathing into him his character. It is who he is. That's his spirit. And the spirit is that part of the mind that communicates with God. So here we have this communication going on. So he breathed into him the breath of lives, and man became a living mind. So we have body, mind, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. That's how God made us. And when we die, it breaks up the same way. When we die, the body dies. The spirit goes back to God, because remember, God put that spirit in. It came from him. He put it into man. And then when we die, it goes back to God. So our character, the seat of our character, goes back to God, and we are not forgotten. But our body is dead, and our mind is dead, our soul is dead, and unconscious. That's the way it works, ladies and gentlemen. Now we can go back to Romans chapter 6, and we can now understand what Paul is saying here in verse 6. Our old man, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Well, we have the body, and we have the mind. The body is not destroyed. The word that's translated destroyed here, is the Greek word means to render powerless or to paralyze. So I like to read the word paralyzed here. The body of sin is paralyzed. And we'll tell you why in just a moment. So the body of sin is paralyzed. The body of sin is our fallen, sinful human flesh that Adam gave us when he sinned, representing the whole human race, bringing sin into the human race, all of us. And that body of sin is our fallen, sinful human flesh with all of the sinful cravings that cannot possibly keep the law of God. And so that body we keep until Jesus comes. We don't get our glorious new bodies until we are either raised from the dead or we are translated. And so when we're translated, we are giving the new glorious body of man. Now, Jesus has that body now because, remember, he was resurrected and then he was carried to heaven and he ascended to heaven. And so he is dwelling in the sinless body of man. But we still have the fallen, sinful human flesh. And Jesus, while he was alive here on earth, had taken fallen, sinful human flesh. And in that fallen, sinful human flesh, he lived a perfect life through the power of the Father, relying upon the Father, John 5, verse 30. And so Jesus lived his life through the power of the Father by relying upon him. He also retained his sinless mind. He did not take on the sinful mind of man. And so he, through his sinless mind, relied upon the Father for the strength to live a perfect life in fallen, sinful human flesh. Now, what happened to the cravings of that flesh while Jesus was living in it? Well, the mind of the Father and the mind of Christ beat down and pummeled into submission without mercy all of the cravings of that fallen, sinful human flesh. Hence, he paralyzed the flesh. Those cravings had no effect upon him. That flesh was paralyzed, and that's why Paul uses that word in the Greek. The body of sin is paralyzed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So the flesh didn't die. We have that flesh until we are translated or until we are resurrected when Jesus comes. But the body of sin is paralyzed by what? Well, in Jesus, it was by the mind of the Father. Jesus, through his mind, relying upon the mind of the Father, not relying on his own. And so the Father kept him. Well, then we also rely on the mind of the Father, and we can rely on the mind of Jesus Christ. And so that's what paralyzed the body of sin, the fallen, sinful human flesh. But something had to happen first, and the first part of verse 6 talks about this. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Now, what dies when we die? The mind. The spirit goes back to God. It doesn't die. The spirit goes, but it's unconscious. The mind dies. It also is unconscious. And so what was crucified with Christ was our old man, our sinning nature, our fallen, sinful human minds were crucified when Christ was crucified because he represented us. And when we are baptized, we are saying, I vote for Jesus to be my representative. I am willing to die with him. I am willing to be resurrected with him. I am willing to live with him. And so we go down into the water and come up a new person, a new act of creation, as it says in Corinthians. So, Romans 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our fallen, sinful human mind is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin, our fallen, sinful human flesh, might be paralyzed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, and the Greek adds for all, once for all, as our representative. But in that he liveth unto God. And here's what you and I are supposed to do. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon means to consider. So when we give ourselves to Jesus, and we've been through baptism, and died and was resurrected through him, and we've received that into our hearts, then we are to consider that we are dead to sin. That we too, through the power of the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the mind of Jesus Christ, have our fallen, sinful human flesh paralyzed. We consider ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, and you can take the pun there, indeed or indeeds, either way, unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that, in a nutshell, is what's going on in Romans 6:1-11, and this is the subject that Elder Jones is talking about. So let's go to our book. Our book is page 98 of the Green Book, 127 in the Picture Book, and 351 in the Bulletin. 167 in the Picture Book, excuse me. I stand corrected. 167 in the Picture Book. 98 in the Green Book, 351 in the Bulletin. All right, are you ready to go? I'm almost ready. All right. Now we are at where it says, now it is the same way here. Our old man is crucified. That is our fallen, sinful human mind. Yet when God sets forth his word that it is so, we accepting that word and surrendering to it, it is so to each one who accepts it, because the word has the divine power in it to cause it to be so. And so when we receive it, when we accept it, and we receive it, then we go into baptism as soon as we can. That's the way this is all about. Then it says, and by that means it would be everlastingly so, even if that were all there is to it. But that is not all there is to it, because in Jesus Christ, human nature has been crucified on the cross, actually, literally, and that is my human nature, that is myself in him that was crucified there. Now, the human nature he's talking about is the fallen, sinful human mind. Also part of human nature is the fallen, sinful human flesh, and also the spirit, which is that part of the mind that communicates with God and is the seat of the character. But he's not talking about those. He's talking about our fallen, sinful human mind. That's what's crucified. The body is paralyzed. We just read about that. All right, so let's back up to where we started. Now it is the same way here. Our old man is crucified. Yet when God sets forth his word that it is so, we accepting that word and surrendering to it, it is so to each one who accepts it, because the word has the divine power in it to cause it to be so. And by that means it would be everlastingly so, even if that were all there is to it. But that is not all there is to it, because in Jesus Christ, human nature has been crucified on the cross, actually, literally, that is my human nature, that is myself in him that was crucified there. And therefore God sets down the record of everyone who is in Christ. He is crucified, so by the two immutable or unchangeable things, by the double fact, it is so. Therefore, we can say with perfect freedom, it is no boasting. It is not presumption in any sense. It is simply the confession of faith in Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Is not he crucified? Then as certainly as I am with him, am I not crucified with him? The word of God says so. Our old man is crucified with him. Very good. Let us thank the Lord that it is so. So he did that for us on the cross, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not, whether we even care or not. Christ died for you and me as our representative. We died with him. Now, when we believe it, when we receive it, when we surrender to it, when we accept it, as Elder Jones says, then we become partakers in Christ, and all these things that were worked out in his life can and will be begun to work out in your life, and you will see things begin to happening in you, in your experience. Going on, it says, what is the use then of our trying, longing to get ourselves crucified so that we can believe that we are accepted of God? Why, it is done, thank the Lord. In him it is done. As our representative, he did it. That's what he's saying. As certainly as the soul by faith sinks itself in Jesus Christ, and by that divine power which he has brought to us to do it, so certainly it is done as a divine fact, and it is only the genuine expression of faith to tell, to acknowledge, that divine fact that I am crucified with Christ. Jesus sunk his divine self into our human nature and altogether was crucified. When we sink ourselves into him, it is so still, because in him only it is done. It is all in him. That is, as our representative. He represents us. We call attention to the thought that we had in the lesson a few evenings ago, that it is not in him in the sense of his being a receptacle to which we can go and take it out and apply it to ourselves. No, but it is in him in the sense that it is all there. And when we are in him, we go into the receptacle. When we sink into him, we have it all in him as we are in him. So it is ours. It is already ours. It belongs to us in title. When we believe it, then we receive it into our experience. We don't have to go to Christ to get it. He has already provided it. It is already ours in title. And then when we believe, when we receive it, when we surrender to it, then it starts to happen in our experience. And that's what he's trying to say. Backing up just a little, it says, we call attention to the thought we had in the lesson a few evenings ago that it is not in him in the sense of his being a receptacle to which we can go and take it out and apply it to ourselves. No, but it is in him in the sense that it is all there. And then when we are in him, guess what? What's in him is in us. Are you ready? When we go into the receptacle, when we sink into him, we have it all in him as we are in him. So we don't go to the receptacle and take it out. We go into the receptacle and abide in it, survive in it, are immersed in it, if you will. Going on, he says, therefore, now let every soul in us say, by the faith of Jesus Christ, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that is, a fallen, sinful human mind. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He is alive again, and because he lives, we live also. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the light, by the way, that is not I anymore, because our fallen sinful human mind has been crucified with him in our experience, because we now have surrendered to that thought. Not I, but Christ liveth in me, that is his mind, his sinless mind of God, through the Father, through his power, dwelleth in us, okay? Backing up, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God? No, the faith of the Son of God. And that's Christ's faith. That's his faith that kept him on the cross when he was tempted to come down. That divine faith which he brought to human nature and which he gives to you and me, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, Galatians 2:20. Oh, he loved me. When he gave himself all his glory and all his wondrous worth for me who was nothing, is it much that I should give myself to him? You know, we already belong to him. We have nothing to give. We just simply say, yes, Lord, thank you for the gift that you have given to me. But there is more in the verse. Romans 6:6, this is what we just studied. Romans 6:6 still, knowing this, that our old man, that is our fallen sinful human mind, is crucified with him, that the body of sin, our fallen sinful human flesh, might be paralyzed. And you can cross destroyed out and put paralyzed in there. That henceforth we should not serve sin. Good. In him we have the victory. Victory from the service of sin. There is victory over the service of sin in this knowing that we are crucified with him. Now I say that this blessed fact which we find in him lifts us right to that place. Let me back up. Now I say that this blessed fact which we find in him lifts us right to that place. Yea, and to the fact, and that fact holds us in that place. That is so. There is a power in it. That is a fact. We will have occasion to see it more fully presently. When he was crucified, what followed? When he was nailed to the cross, what came next? He died. Now read in this same chapter, 8th verse, now if we be dead with Christ, well, what else can there be? As certainly as I am crucified with him, I shall be dead with him. Being crucified with him, we shall be dead with him. Dead with him? Do we know that? Look back at the 4th verse. When he had been crucified and had died, what followed? He was buried, the burial of the dead. And what of us? Now, therefore, we are buried with him. Buried with him? We were crucified with him? Did we die with him? Have the Father and Christ wrought out in human nature the death of sinful self? Yes. Whose? Mine. What is the sinful self? That's that, the old man, the fallen sinful human mind that was crucified with Christ. Let me back up just a little bit. Were we crucified with him? Did we die with him? Have the Father and Christ wrought out in human nature the death of sinful self? Yes. Whose? Mine. Then do you not see that all this is a gift of faith, that it is to be taken with everything else that God gives of faith? The death of the old man is in Christ, and in him we have it, and thank God for it. With him the old man was crucified, with him the old man died, and when he was buried, the old man was buried. That is the fallen sinful human mind, okay? My human old sinful self was crucified, died, and was buried with him. And with him it is buried, yet when I am in him, out of him I have it not, of course. Everyone that is outside of him has none of this. In him it is, and we receive it all by faith in him. Well, being in Christ means that we are allowing him to represent us. We are born in Christ. We were created in Christ. Before the foundation of the world, we were placed in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1. And so we are born in Christ, and the only way that we can be taken out of Christ is if we ourselves take ourselves out of Christ. And we can do that even at a very young age, even in the womb. And so conceived, that's the word I'm trying to think of. When we are conceived, we become a human being. And when we have the capacity to think and we can make a decision while still in the womb, we get to our points where our minds can start doing that, then we can make a decision before or against Christ, even in the womb. And we know that because when Mary came, when she was pregnant with Jesus, to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John for 6 months, John leaped in Elizabeth's womb at the sight of his cousin Jesus coming. And so that's how I know that we can make decisions for Christ or against Christ, even in the womb. All right, let's back up to the paragraph where it says, "Then do you not see that that all this is a gift of faith that is to be taken with everything else that God gives of faith? The death of the old man, fallen sinful human mind, is in Christ. And in him we have it, and thank God for it." We have it in title. Okay? When we thank God for it, then we have it in our experience because we are surrendering to it. With him, the old man, fallen sinful human mind, was crucified. With him, the old man, our fallen sinful human mind, died. And when he was buried, the old man, our fallen sinful human mind, was buried. My human old sinful self, again, fallen sinful human mind, that's what he's talking about, was crucified, died, and was buried with him. And with him, it is buried yet when I am in him. So as long as we allow ourselves to remain in Christ, as long as we allow Jesus to be our representative, then we are in him and all those things that apply while we are in him. Out of him I have not, of course. And so we can only we can take ourselves out of Christ by simply saying, I don't believe it, I don't want it, I don't care. Everyone that is outside of him has none of this. In him it is, in him, and we receive it all by faith in him. We are simply studying now the fact which we have in him, the fact which are given to us in him, and which are to be taken by faith. These are facts of faith. We thank the Lord that all this is literal fact, that our old man is crucified, dead, and buried with him, and that in him we have that gift. In him we have the gift and the fact of the death of the old man, that is the fallen sinful human mind, the death of the human sinful nature, and the burial of it. And when that old thing is crucified and dead and buried, then the next verse, the seventh, he that is dead is freed from sin. And we looked at that earlier, remember? He that is dead is free from sin. So then, knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that henceforth we should not serve sin, we are free from the service of sin. Brethren, I am satisfied, it is just as much our place day by day now to thank God for freedom. I say it is just as much our place, our privilege, and our right to claim in Christ, in him only, and as we believe in him, and thank God for the freedom from the service of sin, as it is to breathe the breath that we breathe as we get up in the morning. So when you get up in the morning and you realize that you have been crucified, your fallen sinful human mind has been crucified with Christ, replaced by the mind of God, let this mind in you that be in you that was in Christ Jesus, from Philippians 2 verse 5, that mind is now in us. We are free from sin because Jesus did not sin, even in fallen sinful human flesh. And if he's in control of you, he will not sin even in your fallen sinful human flesh. And that is the lesson of the gospel. That is the lesson of the creation, where Jesus spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. And Jesus speaks to you, you are perfect. Be ye therefore perfect, even as the Father in heaven is perfect. And when you believe, then Jesus can dwell in you and do his work in you through the power of the Holy Spirit, through his mind, through the mind of the Father, and through the mind of Christ, and through the mind of the Holy Spirit, living his life in you, and our lives now become the life of Jesus Christ. Going on, he says, how can I ever have the blessing and the benefit if there is in that thing if I do not take the thing? If I am all, in other words, we can have it in title, but if we don't receive it in possession, then we will not experience it. It's ours, but we just don't experience it. We leave the money in the bank and we don't use it, if you will. If I am always hesitating and afraid that I am not free from the service of sin, now let that sink in. I'm going to back up. If I am always hesitating and afraid that I am not free from the service of sin, how long will it take to get me free from the service of sin? That very hesitating, that very fear is from doubt, is from unbelief, and it is sin itself. It is sin in itself. But in him, when God has wrought out for us indeed freedom from the service of sin, we have the right to thank God for it. And that was Abraham's response when it says, Abraham believed and God counted to him for righteousness. All God asks us to do is to simply say thank you. And when we get up in the morning and we realize that we belong to Christ, that he is dwelling in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, our whole lives are a constant life of thankfulness. Backing up, but in him, when God has wrought out for us indeed freedom from the service of sin, we have the right to thank God for it, and as certainly as we claim it and thank him for it, we shall enjoy it. That is the experience of it. He that is dead is freed from sin, margin, is justified from sin, and it is in him, and we have it as we are in him by faith. And it is in him, and we have it as we are in him by faith. Let us therefore read the first verse of the sixth of Romans. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Can a man live on what he died of? Can a man live on what he died of? No. Then when the man has died of sin, can he live in sin? Can he live with sin? A man dies of delirium tremens or typhoid fever. Can he live on delirium tremens or typhoid fever even if by a possibility he should be brought to live long enough to realize that he was there? The very thought of it would be death to him because it killed him once. So it is with the man who dies with sin. The very appearance of it, the very bringing of it before him after that is death to him. If he has consciousness enough and life enough to realize that it is there, he will die of it again. He cannot live on what he died of. But the great trouble with many people is that they do not get sick enough of sin to die. Let me read that again. But the great trouble with many people is that they do not get sick enough of sin to die. That is the difficulty. They get sick perhaps of some particular sin, and they want to stop that, and they want to die to that, and they think that they have left that off. But they get sick of some other particular sin that they think is not becoming to them. They cannot have the favor and the estimation of the people with that particular sin so manifested, and they try to leave that off. Notice it says, they try. And who's trying? They try. They try to leave that off. But they do not get sick of sin. Sin in itself. Sin in the conception, sin in the abstract, whether it be in one particular way or another particular way, they do not get sick enough of sin itself to die to sin. When the man gets sick enough, not of sins, but of sin, the whole thing, if you will, the whole concept, the very suggestion of sin and the thought of sin, why, you cannot get him to live in it anymore. He cannot live in it. It killed him once, and he cannot live in what he died of. We have constantly the opportunity to sin. Opportunities to sin are ever presented to us. That's called temptation. Temptation's not a sin, okay? We have constantly the opportunity to sin. Opportunities to sin are ever presented to us. Opportunities to sin and to live in it are presented day by day. But it stands written, always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, I die daily. As certainly as I have died to sin, the suggestion of sin is death to me. It is death to me in him, that is in Christ, as our representative. Therefore, this is put in the form of a surprised, astonished question. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Baptism means baptism into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Remember, we looked at that earlier today. Turn to Colossians. There was the word, you remember, that we had in Brother Derlin's lesson one day, Colossians 2, verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, the elements of the world, worldliness, and this thing that leads to the world, the enmity, why, as though living in the world, ye are subject to the world. Let's read that again. Wherefore, if ye be dead in Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to the world? That is simply speaking of our deliverance from the service of sin. It is simply saying, in other words, what is said in Romans 6:6, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be paralyzed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Why, as though living outside of him, we still do those same things? No, sir. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. The man who is delivered from the dominion of sin is delivered from the service of sin. In Jesus Christ, it is a fact too. So read on from Romans 6:6-14. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be paralyzed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Is he alive? Yes, thank the Lord. Who died? Jesus died, and we are dead with him. And he is alive, and we who believe in him are alive with him. That, however, will come more fully afterward. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died into sin once, but that he that liveth, he liveth unto God. Let us hold to this. Let us thank God this moment and henceforward day by day with every thought I am crucified with him. As certainly as he is crucified, I am crucified. As certainly as he is dead, I am dead with him. As certainly as he is buried, I was buried with him. As certainly as he is risen, I am risen with him. And henceforth I shall not serve sin. In him we are free from the dominion of sin and from the service of sin. Thank the Lord for his unspeakable gift. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave himself to the human race to become a human being, taking upon him fallen, sinful human flesh, that we might be part of him, that he might be able to represent us, living a perfect life in the same fallen, sinful human flesh that you and I have, through the power of the Father, relying upon him, as we also can rely upon the Father of the power of the instead of our crucified, fallen, sinful human mind. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We believe, Father, help thou our unbelief. These things we ask, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless everyone. Have a good rest of the evening and a good rest of the week.